Ben and Kelly, 99.7 DJX. Good morning, Kelly.
Hello.
How was your weekend?
Super. How was yours?
I was busy. Yeah, for sure. Same. Yeah, took a trip up to Wisconsin for Irish dance, where if you've never heard the show before, all three of my daughters are competitive Irish dancers. And so, yeah, took a weekend trip up to Lake Geneva, which if you're familiar or if you're not, I guess it's, I don't know, about a half an hour west of Kenosha. And if you're not familiar with that, that's about an hour and a half from Chicago. And anyways, yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good weekend, you know.
It looked cold.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 9 degrees outside.
Oh, no, sir.
Yeah, it was sunshine. It was like beautiful weather, but it was just really cold. And good weekend for Irish dance. And they're gearing up for the World Championship, which is in Ireland in April. So they're kind of doing these kind of prep competitions leading up to it. So make sure that they're, you know, competition ready.
Absolutely.
I saw that your son is playing football now.
Yeah, we're doing a little 7-on-7 action. It's new for us, but he's having a ball.
Does he like football or basketball better? Because he seems to be, coming into his own in basketball.
Basketball's kind of been his main sport for several years now, and we're just dipping our toe in the football world, but he seems to be really liking both.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to run into some conflicts with games with both sports, but we're trying to do both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dual sport athlete. Hey, speaking of basketball, let's dive into sports real quick. As the U of L women, I know you're not a huge fan of Notre Dame, but you tend to root for Notre Dame because you know you're from Northern Indiana. After let me just break it down. This was their last regular season game before like tournament action starts happening for them.
So
U of L women's basketball team, after the first quarter, they were winning 31-3 over Notre Dame.
Wow.
At one point they were winning 45-6. At the half they were winning 54-15.
Oh, they need to call Rudy in.
Notre Dame needed
Rudy
something
right now.
After the third quarter, they were winning by less than 40 points. So I mean, only 71-34.
Oh.
Final score last night for the women's basketball Cards, 86-64. So they had themselves a night. A night. And the ACC Women's Tournament is going to kick off on Friday, where they're going to take on... they're taking on Notre Dame again. Okay, oh. So they're going to have a rematch of Notre Dame.
Oh, no.
And that's what it looks
Should
like.
They just say we're all sick? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, good luck to the Lady Cards as postseason tournament begins Friday at 6 for them. On fire! And sorry it had to be at the expense of the number 14 ranked Notre Dame coming into their own, I guess, in the right time of the season, too. So that's good for them. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to get to here on the show. This hour, we've got feel-good stories, setting the bar stories where you're never going to believe where this iPhone was found.
Oh,
You laugh, you lose, and more all this hour on 99.7 DJX. As you're getting ready to maybe head out and hit the road, go to school, go to work, etc. This is an interesting study that I want to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kelly, doesn't UPS do the same sort of, I guess, logic, but never turning left?
Really?
Yeah, I heard a long time ago that UPS tries to optimize their efficiency by not turning left. And so this study that I just saw found it might be better if we made most of those left turns illegal, because a bunch of algorithms figured out the best way to keep traffic moving and to prevent accidents was to stop trying to turn left.
But what if you need to go left?
Well, if it's at a traffic light, I would imagine it's
fine. It's legal.
Different. Well, I mean, it's legal. It's never not illegal right now. We don't have any laws against
it. But talking about that, though.
But they're just saying that the most efficient way to actually get to where you're going is to find a route where you're not trying to turn left against the grain of traffic. You know, if you're at a stop sign and you're trying to turn left, you know, like I was going to Costco yesterday, right? And I'm, you know, on Bardstown Road, and you've got these people that are coming at, and you know, if you've ever been on Bardstown Road, especially past the Waterston like that, like you've got a lot of lanes of highway, and if you're trying to turn left, like good luck. So they're saying, you know, it's obviously depending on the city you're in and the flow of traffic, but in general, the most efficient setups are like, hey, let's not turn left near the middle of like a metropolitan area. And so, you know, when you get further and further away from the city, that's when it's obviously relaxed and it's easier to do. But man, that certainly makes sense. And like I said, it makes sense, especially since I saw that and I was like, oh, doesn't UPS do something? Because somewhere buried deep within the recesses of my brain, I heard something a long time ago that UPS, their drivers always try to not turn left to be more efficient with how they deliver packages. So I don't know.
Wow.
I know we got a lot of, you know, UPS workers.
Well, now we just need some UPS drivers to confirm or deny.
Yeah, I don't know.
Confirm or deny.
If that's the case or not. But yeah, that interesting. As you're headed out, maybe you can consider how you're turning and where you're going. And maybe the route that you're taking isn't the most efficient because you have left turns in it.
But don't we all just trust GPS?
Oh, to a fault.
Yes. I mean, like, even if I know where I'm going, sometimes I'll just pull it up anyway just to see about traffic. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the best route?
I guess, like, you know, we drove to Chicago this weekend, and I've been to Chicago hundreds of times. I know how to get there. But
yeah, but you got to check the traffic, though. There could be some sort of accident on your normal route, and they got to reroute you to find a better time.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, consider that, though, as you're headed out this morning.
Hey, I was just calling about the UPS drivers, and it is absolutely true. It actually started with the post office, and it was because of it was a less accident prone to happen. If you're turning left, you have more accidents. So it was the cheap money, basically, in the post office. And, of course, all of the other delivery agencies just followed suit.
Started following suit. Wow, okay. So I heard correct.
Yes, cool. You did hear correct.
Stacey, thank you.
You're welcome, and DJX is the best.
Oh, you
I love that.
Stacey, have a good
thank
one.
Thank you. You have a good one.
That's right. thank you, Stacey, for clearing that up. Love when we can get some knowledge on the show, right? 99.7 DJX, kind of a funny moment with Nick Carter. Nick Carter, for those of you who do not know, was a member of the boy band, the Backstreet Boys.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to embark on the DNA World Tour here soon. So Nick Carter was asked about, you know, getting prepared for tour, like what it takes on your body to get prepared for tour.
Like everyone else out there with the pandemic, we're at home eating a lot. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was time to get back in shape. And I knew that we were coming up on this residency and our world tour coming up. And I said, well, I can't be a fat street boy anymore. So
he said, I can't
fat
be a
street boy anymore.
A fat street boy anymore. Oh, that was the one I haven't heard before. I haven't heard fat street boys.
Nope, I haven't either.
But yeah, Nick Carter there saying, yeah, he's dropping some weight. He's already dropped about 11 pounds or so. But yeah, it's funny.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, fat street boys. That just makes me laugh.
I kind of want to see that tour.
I know. I mean, I've heard the, you know, with Joey Fatone from NSYNC.
Yeah.
You know, kind of the fat one, Joey the fat one. And and that's, he's even said that. It's not like people have been like fat shaming him, but it's like he's made that joke. But yeah, the fat street boys are a new one. Hey, coming up, you know, that pain and that suffering that you feel when you lose your phone.
Oh, no, it's the worst, isn't it? Your whole life is on that thing. All your contacts.
Oh my gosh, yeah. All right, setting the bar. Kelly, what's a setting the bar story?
Well, it's an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in today.
Yeah, that's kind of where we are with Becky, right?
Uh-huh.
So setting the bar, if you can manage to make it through the day without losing your iPhone for 10 years.
Whoa.
In your toilet.
Oh.
Then you're doing okay.
Oh, no. Where was it hiding in there?
So Becky says that she and her husband were having trouble with their toilet last week. There was like a banging sound every time they flushed.
But it was just last week they noticed it, and it's been missing in there for 10 years?
Well, apparently the banging just started, right?
Okay, so it was lodged in there pretty good until it started to get a little loose and make some noise.
Right. Initially, they just blamed it on their old house, right? And okay. So after a while, they were like, you know what? We're just going to plunge this sucker. And that's when they pulled out Becky's iPhone that she had lost for almost 10 years. Like, back on Halloween of 2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what generation was that?
Yeah, good question. It looks like, I don't know, one of those... like iPhone 6 or something like that. It maybe looks like one of those.
Okay, so it's not the original iPhone.
No. I
don't remember how far back we are.
I have no idea. I'm not an iPhone person. But she... So apparently, you know, it was a Halloween party, night of drinking. She was probably a little tipsy, right? And went to use the restroom and maybe... she had her phone in a costume, wasn't very secured, and did the whole, like, pull down her pants and it fall in the toilet sort of thing.
And didn't hear the kerplunk?
Well, again, if there's a party atmosphere, maybe there's noise, maybe she's drunk, maybe she doesn't notice it, right?
Okay.
So she was like, man, we were wondering how it just vanished without a trace.
Yeah,
gave up. Gave up looking for it, bought a new one. And then, obviously, this phone was damaged when they were able to plunge it out of the toilet. But
yeah, I couldn't imagine trying to put it in rice
and then
plug it in.
I mean, being submerged in water and, you know, it seeing some things, I would imagine, for the past 10 years. Yeah, she shared some pictures of the phone on Facebook.
Oh, I don't think I need to see
that. Well, we'll share out the article so you can at least enjoy Becky's.
Do a deep dive in, so to speak.
Yeah, Becky's toilet phone. Oh, my. Which is setting the bar.
Oh, no, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
I mean,
sir.
The one thing that's good about the whole thing is that the picture that they shared has Becky holding the phone with latex gloves on.
So, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep, exactly. So, anyways, setting the bar. If you can manage to make it through the day without losing your iPhone for 10 years. In your toilet, then you're doing okay.
Do you think they could still get, like, maybe an upgrade trade-in deal?
I know. You take that to the Genius Bar or see what they can do for you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's Side of the Bar on 99.7 DJX. I have a dog, Fiona. She's getting upwards of, like, 12, 13 years old. I mean, she's getting old, right?
She's a senior citizen.
Yeah, she is. So, embarrassing moment number one happened to be over the weekend. We took her with us up to Chicago. My sister lives in Chicago, and she has a dog of her own, and she's stayed at my sister's house before when we've gone to Chicago, and she's a dog person. My sister's a dog person anyways. You know, Fiona knows them, and it's all good, right? So so we take the trip. We get there, we pull up to my sister's house, you know, and from Louisville to Chicago, we didn't really stop. We just drove, right? And so it's a good 5 hours, you know? And so we get out of the car, my dog, you know, kind of jumps out and Fiona's just kind of sniffing around, milling around, sniffing around, all that stuff. And then we're like, all right, come on in, you know? And so we go in and as soon as my dog crosses the threshold of the front door, she squats and pees. I mean, right on their floor. Like in this, and my dog is so good about holding it and going where she needs to go. Like she doesn't have accidents. Like this is not Fiona, right?
And yeah, but she knows the deal. Like you're supposed to go in the yard.
Yes, exactly. And so this is very, very uncommon. And so as soon as she crosses the threshold, she's just like starts squatting and I look down and I see and I'm like, whoa. And I'm like,
you can't really stop it.
I know. And I'm pat her a little bit. I'm like, hey, let's go outside. You know, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And like, and of course the whole, this never happens.
Uh-huh.
Which if you've heard it, you're like, you roll your eyes. Sure. Sure. It's never happened. But it's like, it never happens.
Yes, I know.
And so
maybe she was nervous.
I don't know. But just seconds in, and thankfully, you know, it's just pee and they have hardwood floors. So it was.
That's good.
Like able to be cleaned up pretty well.
If it was brand new carpet, that would have been.
Yeah.
A little bit more of an
Yeah, exactly. So dog embarrassed us within minutes of getting to my sister's house.
But it's family, and yeah. So they're usually pretty understanding about that stuff.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. So that's embarrassing moment number one for me over the weekend.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
We leave the dog in Chicago. We head up to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin for the Irish dance competition. We're staying at a resort. That's where the competition is being held, at like Lake Geneva Resort, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we, it's this, if you'll recall the movie The Shining, do you remember the, do you remember the Overlook Hotel?
Uh-huh.
It was just a big, big, like ski lodge sort of hotel. And this is Wisconsin, so there's a lot of skiing that happens. But this, I mean, it's a huge, huge, huge venue. And there, it kind of reminds me of the Overlook Hotel from The Shining, right? Where there's just a bunch of different rooms and paths and hallways and easy to get lost in this hotel. So I go, it is the morning of, it's Saturday morning. My daughter Zoe is getting ready to compete. And so I go run, grab some, like a yogurt parfait, a little banana, something like that from the restaurant, right? For her to eat. And I'm coming back. I've got a handful of stuff. I've got some coffee for my other daughters and everything. I knock on our hotel room door because my wife had the key. So I didn't have a key. So I go and I knock on our hotel room door. No one answers. And I'm like, knock again. No one answers. I'm like looking around. Going, what the heck? Did they go to like the stages already? As I start to turn and walk away, the door opens. And so I turn back.
It's not your door.
And it's not my door. And someone's looking at me. And it's like this.
Can I help you?
Right. It's actually like a teenage kid. His hair's a mess.
Right, you got him out of bed.
I did. And you know, he's a dancer too. He looked like an Irish dancer. There literally was a do not disturb sign on the door.
Sir, can you read?
And
there's a reason for these signs.
And I just said, "Whoop, sorry, wrong room."
Oh my God.
And I just walked away. I didn't say, like, I just walked away.
Oh, he didn't. Please tell me you encountered that person later at the competition.
Oh, Kelly, I was terrified that I was. I was terrified that I was going to run into that guy.
The guy that was like the lunatic that was knocking on my door this morning.
Oh, I was 100% the subject of a story later that day.
Oh,
oh my gosh. So, anyway,
your heart, you got lost.
Yeah, I did.
Your own hotel.
I did. So, two embarrassing situations happened to me over the weekend. One being my dog peeing all over the floor of my sister's house the second she walks in, and two, me knocking incessantly on a door at like 6:45 in the morning.
Oh,
by the way,
gosh.
Yeah,
at
6:45. Oh, just going.
Oh no.
Hey. Why isn't anyone opening?
I would hate you.
Oh, my gosh. Yep, that's me. That's my life summed up in two stories. 99.7 DJX. I do like now getting responses and text messages at 502-571-9970. From Kimberly was like, yeah, I knocked on the wrong room. Did that in Nashville when I was sleepwalking in my silk nightie.
Oh, that's funny.
Have you ever been locked out of your hotel room?
No.
Like, thank you know, goodness. We see the commercials on TV every now and then of like people that leave their hotel room and the door shuts and they're like in their towel and then they got to go to like the desk and get a new key for their room. But
why are they ever like stepping foot outside of their hotel room wearing only a towel?
Maybe it's just to like pick up your room service or I don't know. But anyways.
Maybe. Maybe that would be the only viable excuse. I did get locked out of my sister's house, though, for several hours.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing my jammies.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, taking the dog out and her door locked automatically behind me. And I had to go meet her neighbor and say, hey, can I call my sister? And she couldn't come home for like another hour. So.
That is funny. It's 99.7 DJX. All right, coming up next, it's a feel-good story. All right, feel-good stories every hour. Kelly K.
So this doesn't start in the feel-good lane. Mm-hmm. Houston man saw a two-year-old walking on the sidewalk in the cold rain wearing only a diaper. So Michael Henry, he's a dad of two himself. He was taking his daughter to a hair appointment when mm-hmm. he noticed this two-year-old just walking down the sidewalk in the cold rain. So he scooped him up and then tried to knock on some doors.
I ran up to him, I grabbed him.
Got him, man.
Taking the baby into his arms.
So I just gave him love and care.
Sad, man.
I feel like he felt that he was loved and, you know.
After knocking on doors and unable to find the parents, he says he eventually gave the child to police.
I want to show it. It's not so much of bashing the parents or putting light that way because you never know what they're dealing with. You never know what's going on. You never know what happened. But at the end of the day, it's still selfish and irresponsible.
This father's message to parents...
Be aware of what's really going on. Soften your heart. Love your kids. Give them attention. Tell them you love them. Give them confidence. And you giving the right energy to it, you have a better outcome.
Oof.
Thank goodness that he happened to be in the right place at the right time and save that baby from walking out in the street or worse. So we've got that story up at WDJX.com. We'll also tweet it at Ben and Kelly Show.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
We got a message. My name is Lane, not my real name.
Okay.
And my husband and I have been married for 7 years. We have an 18-month-old daughter. My husband and I are in our early 30s. We have a pretty good marriage overall. We love each other. We take time away from our daughter to spend quality time together. We make the effort to keep and relish in our own hobbies and friend groups. We have good communication. We have a healthy love life about once a week or so.
Wow.
Most days, I feel pretty lucky to have the life that I do. But my husband is real handsy with me. Like, any time I'm near him, he's groping, grabbing, pinching, smacking, kissing, humping, etc. And no, Ben, not the occasional hump when I bend over to pick something up. Ha ha.
I mean, who hasn't used that move, right?
This is constant. Like, I'll be dicing vegetables, cleaning, relaxing, exercising, shopping. He'll just start with all the touching, basically holding me hostage until he feels like he's done doing what he wants with me. I realize this sounds like a really small thing, and I should be so lucky that my husband worships me and my body, but I don't see it that way. I feel like my personal space is constantly being violated, and it's just too much. And it's not like he's doing these things in some romantic attempt to be sweet. It kind of borders animalistic.
Oh, wow.
He's aggressive when he does it, and I find it irritating. I can't make dinner without a 45-second pause where I just stand there, and then he grabs on me and laughs.
Okay.
His love language is clearly physical touch.
Right.
And he's always asking me for a hug and a kiss. I could be in the middle of gardening or cleaning a toilet, and he'll say, I want a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And when I don't stop everything I'm doing to give him a hug or kiss, it makes me feel guilty. And then he jokes, I wish my wife loved me.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I've talked to him about the fact that it really bothers me and that I've read blogs and done research to support and validate my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
He agreed to cool it, but he never really did. So am I crazy for feeling this way, and how do I get him to knock it off? Any suggestions or guidance is appreciated. Thanks.
Man, that is delicate because
it is.
When your, you know, love language is two different opposite things, you know, that can be conflicting. And, you know, I think about this like, is this what my wife feels? Because I'm not like, it doesn't sound like
you're on that
I'm
level,
aggressive.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm aggressive with it, but certainly when she's at the sink or whatever, you know, what husband hasn't come up behind his wife, right? A little
touchy-touchy.
A little humpy-humpy, a little touchy-touchy, a little...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
I need you to not say it like that.
Humpy-humpy? I mean, I feel like I am this guy to some extent, and if we're like, yeah, I really don't want you doing that. My wife will say things like, why is it every time I am cooking dinner, you feel the need to do this or, you know, whatever. And so maybe that's her also kind of saying, hey, you need to cool it on that. But then I'm conflicted with this. I don't know what to say.
This is really tough because she's trying to be delicate. She doesn't want him to feel like she doesn't love him or she's not attracted to him. Mm-hmm. But she is. She just needs there to be a few little boundaries. Like, hey, let's just dial it back a notch.
All right. Well, obviously, I'm going to be no help. So this is where we're going to need you, especially if you have overcome something like this in your relationship.
Handsy Ben, I'm confused.
Handsy Ben.
What do I do with my hands?
I know. I mean, sometimes the butt is right there. Like, oh, it's God. Just right there. It's right there.
Julie's just like, you're cracking me up because you're talking about my husband. I think we're hitting a nerve with this one, I think, for a lot of ladies out there.
All right, 502-571-9970. It's group therapy. We have a team of professionals, of listeners who have been in your situation, can offer up their advice, and even are in a field studying your issue.
Wow.
Yeah, so we got a message from Lainey. Not a real name, says she loves her husband. They've been married 7 years. They got an 18-month-old daughter. They have different love languages. His is physical touch. He's handsy all the time. She needs a break. Not getting the message, though.
A lot of people are chiming in that they're kind of in a similar situation. Jasmine said, my husband of 15 years gropes my girls constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, in quote.
Yeah.
You know what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. It's annoying. We talked about it, but he will never change. I've taken to grab him in the back in order to get him to stop.
Oh, wow.
That's the way to do it. Give him a taste of his own medicine.
Sure. Brittany.
So I love the love languages. And I think a really important thing to consider is that with love languages, you give and receive very differently, right? So it sounds like his love language for receiving is physical affection, but hers is not. So I think they should consider what her love language is and have the consideration in the conversation of like, hey, husband, my love language is this, and you're not filling me up by, you know, loving me in that way. And I understand your love language is physical affection, and I'll try to do a better job of filling you up by giving you that physical affection that you're craving.
Right.
And maybe you like meet in the middle.
That sounds like a compromise. Okay.
Yeah, because it almost sounds like he's kind of like craving a little bit more and kind of calling out maybe a little bit for help. Like, hey, I'm not feeling loved right now. And my only way of knowing how to feel loved is by giving physical affection because that's how I feel the love.
Gotcha. Brittany, you sound smart.
Look, I'm in a counseling master's program, so this is what I do.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so this was really speaking to me this morning.
Oh, well, Brittany, thank you so much for giving us your expertise on this.
I love it. I wish them both the best of luck. Thanks, Ben and Kelly. I love listening to you all.
Oh, appreciate it, Brittany. Have a good one.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Right, hey, Andrew the Love Doctor. All right, this is a big one.
It's a good one. Well, first and foremost, she's kind of lucky that she's got a husband that wants to touch her and be around her. A couple of things are going on here, though, guys. I'm guessing that probably in his past, at some point in time, he didn't get the physical part of the relationship from somebody else, whether it was parenting, friends, family, people he used to date in the past, because my love language is exactly the same as his. It's physical touch. Now, if it's a pat on the tail, pat on the back as you walk through the kitchen is one thing, but she said it got to the point to where it was almost too aggressive.
Yeah.
So what needs to happen here is obviously have the same conversation again, and if it continues, then they probably need to seek out a real doctor who can actually walk them through this, because it is a thing what they're both going through. And maybe the 18-month-old, my question is, the 18-month-old's probably getting a bunch of attention from mom.
Yeah.
I would gather. So maybe he's feeling a little bit left out as well. So that'd be another question we need to ask.
Oh, good point. Well, Andrew, the Love Doctor, thank you as always.
You better love it.
Man, and like I said, I didn't feel like I was going to be a whole lot of help here because I almost relate to her husband.
You're now examining your own actions.
I know.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to tone it back a little bit. I don't know.
Well, Akeisha said, my husband's love language is definitely touch. Mine is acts of service. But luckily for him, I'm a massage therapist, so I do probably touch him more than than other people would. She said, find a happy medium. Mm-hmm. Maybe your husband needs to learn a way to touch you that you like and maybe not at inconvenient times.
All right.
And she is trying to, that's the thing. She has already tried to talk to her husband about this.
Right.
And he's kind of not getting the hint. He said that he would back off a little bit, but he hasn't. So I think maybe this follow-up conversation, just saying, listen, I'm going to try to meet you halfway, but you got to meet me halfway. You got to lay off a little bit. I love you and I love us, but put the brakes a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck. I don't know
if we just give you that talk too.
I don't, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if we helped or not, but at Ben and Kelly Show on Facebook, that is group therapy. Can we do a stupid fact of the day?
I think we should.
All right. You know, knowledge always happens a lot of times randomly. This is one of the only times that we purposefully try to throw some knowledge your way.
All right? Yeah, a lot of times by accident.
Exactly. Stupid fact of the day. Thanks to Google for this one. Mm-hmm. Google searches for the phrase, why is my poop green peak between 5 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning, and then again between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.?
Why, and how did you stumble across that knowledge? I feel like there's only one way you could, is if you are actually searching for that yourself.
Well, Google Trends is an amazing thing, right?
Are we getting a little glimpse into, like, you know, yesterday or something for you?
I would imagine, especially with St. Patrick's Day just moments away, you know, mere days away, I should say.
I think both of those search times could probably have something to do with either dinner the night before or something you ate at lunch going into or dinner. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's a dinner conversation. That's a dinner occurrence.
Between 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning, and then again between 6 and 7 p.m.
Something you ate.
There it is. And that...
did a little something in the system.
...is your stupid fact of the day.
That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For searching that yourself and figuring that out.
Yeah,
because that's 100% how you came across that knowledge. 100%.
Again, knowledge always is a good thing here. On 99.7 DJX. Do this every hour, brought to you by Care Heating and Cooling. Kelly Kay.
So triplets are pretty rare,
yeah.
Right? So what are the odds of those siblings all becoming pregnant at the same time? That happened to Nina, Gina, and Victoria. They were all born 4 minutes apart in 1985. 36 years later, they couldn't believe it when they found out they were all expecting their first child at the same time. And the doctor was pretty amused by it, too.
By chance, they all had appointments on the same day. And so they asked him, did you plan this? No. And then I realized, oh my gosh, you're triplets, you're all pregnant, you're all going to have babies within months of each other.
Wait, did he say they all by chance had appointments on the same day
and didn't plan it?
Oh,
I mean, that's what I'm
God.
Saying. This is crazy.
That is bizarre.
And they share a lot of the same cravings too.
She would tell me, oh, I'm like craving this, or I ordered this to eat. And I was like, what? Are you serious? I literally just ordered that, or I just ate that.
I mean, that stuff, it's almost too coincidental to be a coincidence, you know?
I know, but that's the way it kind of played out. The babies were born, and they all look very similar. So literally within months of being the same age, and I'm sure the cousins are going to grow up to be besties. It's just a really cute story. You can see it at WDJX.com.
Every single day, we offer our show as a forum for you to maybe get a little help on a situation that you may have, or give you some courage to address a situation that is, you know, you're dealing with in your life. And if you have one of those situations, you can always message us at Ben and Kelly Show and allow us to toss it out to our listeners and see what we can do for you.
Basically, this situation was that her brother-in-law, her husband's brother, was getting married in a couple of months, and he has a three-year-old daughter that he does not have any contact with. He paid off the mother to not be a part of the life, but the entire family knows about it. His fiance does not. And so she was like, do I tell her? How do we let her know? Because I feel like she needs to know. And it was kind of split. A lot of people were saying, stay out of it. I think we kind of landed on maybe you convince the family to stage an intervention to tell him you need to tell your fiance this information.
Yeah. Well, we have an update. She writes, hey, Ben and Kelly, I do have an update for you. I was really nervous to bring this up again with my husband because of how many people suggested I, quote, let them figure it out. But I just couldn't because I would want to know and my brother-in-law's fiance is a sweet girl.
Yes, yes, that's me, yes.
I convinced him to talk to his mom about it. So he called her on Friday night, asked her what she thought about the situation, and his mom agreed to have a conversation with her son. So going through the mom route, I think, is
putting
a smart way
mom,
to go.
Like, listen, this is your son, handle it.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. So she continues, we all like his fiance and don't want to see her hurt. Well, we were all on pins and needles all weekend, knowing that his mom was going to chat with her son about the secret. Sunday evening rolls around, and we haven't heard anything.
Oh, no, that's the worst. That's the worst. You got to report back.
Yes, you do.
Uh-huh.
My husband finally texts his mom and asks what happened. She just texts back, all good. She already knew.
I'm sorry, what? Back the truck up, fiance knew? And everyone just didn't know that she knew?
Right, and so she continues. I'm like, when did he tell her?
Yes.
This doesn't make any sense to me. My husband is fine with that answer, but now I'm beginning to think his mom is just telling us what we want to hear, so we'll drop it.
Oh.
It's not like I'm... Yeah, and she goes, it's not like I'm randomly going to bring up, so what do you think about his estranged daughter?
Yeah, that's not something that you're just going to bring up.
Right.
You know, over cocktails. No.
She continues, ugh, I know I'm being nosy, but... With this information, is there a good and appropriate way to casually bring this up to his fiance? Should I?
No.
Thanks again for all your help. And
no,
yes,
you should not.
I'm going to echo Kelly. Yeah, no.
Your conscience is clear now because you put it in mom's court. Mom apparently handled it.
Yeah, she handled it.
Whether we believe it or not is irrelevant. Your hands are clean. Now you got to let it play out how it's going to play out.
Oh my gosh. That is going to... It sounds like this is going to eat at her.
Oh, yeah.
And eat at her.
But listen, if years down the road, this comes out that, oh, you know, fiance, now wife, didn't know and mom lied, that's on mom.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, for sure. That is.
Not you.
That is on mom. Let's hope that everything that mom texted back is true.
Let's hope it's legit and it just never came up that, you know... The fiance
that information
knew, and
was,
yes,
right.
That isn't something I think that the fiance would be like, oh, so what are you thinking about that? Like, what should I do?
Well, and to be fair to her brother-in-law and his fiance, that I don't feel like is something that that he'll randomly say, okay, so guys, I did tell her.
Yes.
You
no.
Know, I don't know. I feel like that's very personal. So
maybe, and this is just, I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe he and his fiance don't want kids themselves. So maybe it's all fine and it's never going to be a thing. And I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think she, as far as our listener goes, she did her part. She gave it off to the mom. Mom apparently handled it. We're done.
Yeah. Do not take it upon yourself.
Nope. And if you, listen, if you are at the reception and you have a little drinky drink, you just zip it.
Zip it.
Zip it. Zip it. Zip it up.
Scream into a pillow. Do something, but zip it.
Do not drunk talk at the wedding.
Okay. Thank you for the update. Please keep us posted on everything and glad we could help on 99.7 DJX.
Here's what's coming up with Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
You can picture if it's an open bar and she's sitting there just going, so happy for you guys. And would you, I'm so glad that you're fine with the secret daughter. I'm so glad you know. And she's all like, what?
Oh my gosh. No. No. Don't do that.
Zip it.
Do not do that.
Oh my God.
Good Lord.
In my mind, that's how that's playing out. In my mind, that's where I'm at.
Okay. Coming up, we're diving into the animal kingdom.
Which is great, because we did get a text early this morning from...
Mike?
Mike, yep, that said, you know what? Morning, my new marker that I'm on my on time for work is the animal mating noises bump. Love consistency, and you all. Have a great week.
Yes.
That must fire at the same time every day.
I get maybe. Maybe you heard this story about all of these break-ins that were happening around Lake Tahoe, California. It was like 152 reports of break-ins that were happening, crimes that were happening. And There were people calling the South Lake Tahoe police saying they're fed up and they're sharing opinions on how they should handle this situation. Well, it was learned and the perp appeared to be Hank.
Okay, so Hank's the perp, been breaking in. Is he in custody?
Hank is a 500-pound bear.
Oh, wow. Oh, dang. Oh, wow.
So they were going to try and capture Hank. Apparently, Hank had been pinned on these 152 different break-ins, right?
Dang.
And the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, I mean, they were even like, okay, this is a real safety issue because people are there. And
oh, gosh. And like they're home when Hank yep, breaks in?
Hank doesn't care.
Hank's hungry. He just wants a snack. Does he go straight for the kitchen? Is that where he's going?
That's where he goes. And he eats and he doesn't do anything else. He eats and he leaves.
Like, thanks, see you.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the Fish and Wildlife, they're saying, you know what? Hey, look, if we capture Hank, I mean, we might have to euthanize him because of how dangerous this is.
We can't just relocate him.
So now we have an update.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, Hank is not the only one. He's got at least, because of DNA evidence, two others.
Oh, no.
That in his little gang.
Is this a bear gang?
I think this might be a
bear
gang.
A bear burglary gang, we've discovered.
That are vandalizing and breaking into houses there in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, my gosh.
And now they're like, now look, we're not going to euthanize Hank because he's not the only culprit. And so.
No, we got to relocate the whole fam, though,
yeah,
right?
We're going to work on trapping, tagging, and relocating these bears.
Oh, dang. We got to take them out to a less populated area.
Yeah, but if we do that, how is he going to eat? Because the only thing it sounds like Hank knows how to do is open up your refrigerator and munch on whatever you got inside, right?
Hey, do you have any soy milk? That's my favorite.
I like bears. I think they're cool. I think about bears in the house by the pool when I'm driving, when I'm eating.
Making love to my wife. That's right.
It.
That's right.
That's 100%.
So
we did that story. That's great.
An update there for you on Hank the Tank there in California, the 500-pound bear that has been breaking into South Lake Tahoe homes. I had one of those moments this weekend where I impressed not only my wife, but my daughters, too. And it was one of those kind of like dad flexes that you had, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so I said that, you know, we traveled for Irish Dance this weekend and we went up to Chicago. And so where my sister lives in Forest Park, you know, you have to park out on the sidewalk and you can imagine it's a premium when.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Good luck finding a spot.
Exactly. And so we're getting in. It's dark. It's, you know, it's probably around 6:30 or so. Anyways, we get in and pulling up. It's snowy in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a spot in front of their house and it's small. And I'm driving the Honda Odyssey, which is a minivan, right?
Oh, no. You're and, like, oh, I think I can make it.
And I said, look, I'm taking this.
No, you're not.
And so I flipped on my turn signal. Yeah, my turn signal.
Indicator.
And I'm like, I'm backing into this thing. I'm parallel parking into this thing.
Oh.
And my wife's like, oh, I think it's too small. And
did you make one of the girls get out and like help,
nope,
you know,
nope,
direct?
No. And I even had a car behind me. So like the pressure was on to hit it,
wow,
the first time. And Kelly, I tell you, it's one of those flexes that you have. When I cut it just right and two moves back,
yep,
and forward and my wife, while I'm doing it, she's like, oh, this is hot. This is hot. Wow.
She's like, honey, you're nailing it.
I know. She's just like, you got it. Yeah. And my daughter's like, how in the world did you do that? And I did one of those like, yep. I got it. I got it. You know, like when you nail a parallel parking job, when it really matters and pressure's on, I mean,
did the car behind you then like drive by and give you applause?
No. It was just like, you know, it's Chicago. So they're like,
probably gave you one finger. You're number one.
Like, why'd you hold me up for 4 seconds? Yeah. No, but it was one of those moments where you smile and you're like, yep.
But were you able to get out again? That's the question.
Yeah,
because it sounded tight.
Yeah, no, it was totally tight. There was probably 6 inches on either side of me, on the front and back.
Did you have to Austin Powers your way out of it?
No, the car behind me ended up leaving like 10 minutes later, and I was like, "Oh wow, all right, well this is convenient." So, anyways, one of those dad moments I just had to share.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Counteracts earlier the two stories of the embarrassing moments that happened to you within 24 hours of each other.
Yes.
That's a good, a redemption story right there.
Yeah. Well, no, not even. It was like, that was preceding it all.
It went downhill from there.
That was the peak. That was the peak of everything. Then immediately my dog pees on my sister's floor, and then I knock on the wrong hotel room. So,
you know what? You could have been like, but look at my parking job out there. Wasn't that amazing?
I
mean, I know my dog just peed on your floor, but look at that parking job.
Coming up on the Ben Davis and Kelly Kay Show.
You know, batteries are an essential part of living, right?
Yep.
Everything that we have has some sort of battery, whether it's your phone, whether it's your remote on your TV.
Yep, they power a lot of things.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing that they shouldn't be used for coming up in your Setting the Bar story.
Does this involve the body cavity of some sort?
Well, let's just say that...
That's my first thought.
I know, with everything.
Every single time you say something like that's my first thought because of this show.
You may not be wrong. It's a Setting the Bar story, and it's on the way. And Kelly, what's a Setting the Bar story?
It's an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in today.
Yeah, I mean, batteries are a part of our life, right? I mean, we use batteries for everything from...
Lots of different kinds of batteries.
Yeah, lots of different kinds of batteries. You know, every now and then you might, play a little prank and do with the 9-volt battery, like stick it on your tongue just to get like a little... Zzz, you know, like a little jolt. Have you ever done that?
Don't do that.
No. Never done that? Okay.
No.
This is an example of how not to use them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to give you a quick tease, we're going to find out this. We found this study thanks to the medical journal Urology case.
Oh, no.
So if
No.
Here we go.
No.
If you can manage to make it through the day without shoving a battery. In your penis, then you're doing okay.
Oh, God. I don't have one of those, but I can just imagine.
Yeah, this was...
Why?
This was documented in the medical journal Urology Case Reports, and...
Why?
There was a man who came in who had a battery lodged in his urethra.
Did he try to tell them that he slipped and fell and oopsies? Is that what you tried to tell him?
they don't get into...
I was walking in the kitchen, and then I fell, and then, oh, no, look what happened.
So they don't get into why it found its way there.
Oh, wow.
Let's just say it came out, but they had to have surgery to get it out.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey there.
And he was on a 3-week observation period, and a 6-month checkup revealed that he has completely recovered.
Oh, that's good news.
Again, we don't know.
That's good news. But did he learn his lesson? That's the other part of the question. Did he learn his lesson?
At least for 6 months he did.
Okay.
You know.
That's not where that goes. That's not going to power anything.
I know you're wondering, it was a AA battery.
AA?
So I'm thinking... Okay, maybe a triple A.
Better than triple A.
I know. Mm. How painful would that be?
Gosh, no. No, 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 no.
And how? Oh my gosh. Okay,
no.
Sorry. We're going to go down a weird wormhole of how.
No,
if we let our brain go to it.
Because we all have a very vivid picture in our head right now. Thank you, sir. Very vivid. Even those of us that don't have that body part, still cringing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, you know, 25 out of 10 on a cringeworthy scale, sir.
Yeah, he's trying to plug himself in for something, or get himself ready for something in the wrong way. So, again,
I don't understand the mental path that that person took to get there.
It probably wasn't successful the first time he tried it.
Oh, at first you don't succeed, try again?
Yeah. So, again, didn't think I'd have to say this sentence, but if you can manage to make it through the day without shoving a battery where the sun don't shine, then you're doing okay.
Yeah, there's a reason why there are instructions on how to cook Pop-Tarts, including take them out of the pouch.
Are we going to see on a packet of Duracell batteries, do not shove in penis?
Oh, God.
Is that going to be
now?
Is that going to be a warning?
Because they didn't have the warning.
That's
maybe.
Probably it.
Okay.
Wow. Learn something new every day, right? It's 99.7 DJX. It's Ben and Kelly, 99.7 DJX. I tend to think of an opossum as like a rodent, one of those that, you know, if you hit one with your car, no big whoop. Yeah?
I tend to think of Over the Hedge and doing the dramatic death scenes.
Yeah, then there's that too.
Avril Lavigne and William Shatner giving them voices.
So I didn't know there was this much to do about Kewpie the opossum here in Kentucky that was born with scoliosis, osteoporosis, and one leg shorter than the other.
Oh, goodness.
So, like, Kewpie would have had to have been put down, couldn't have survived in the wild. But thanks to a company in New Hampshire, this from WMUR.
This handsome little guy is named Kewpie, and he was born with scoliosis, osteoporosis, and one leg shorter than the others. He would never survive in the wild, so Walkin' Pets built him a little wheelchair.
Yeah.
Oh.
He got a custom wheelchair.
That's fantastic.
Kewpie lives in Kentucky in a wildlife sanctuary, and people there say he is doing great.
Is that what is in our wildlife sanctuaries? Opossums?
What, a bunch of animals with, like, you know, wheelchairs and stuff?
Well, no, like opossums. Like, I feel like those are everywhere. I don't.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, maybe Kewpie's there because he's a special. He has a special circumstance.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Am I heartless just to think, well...
Maybe a little.
Yeah. That's a lot of effort.
You're thinking, you know what? Sorry, Kewpie. You be out with the rest of the posse, Roman. You're not special. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, natural selection.
Like somebody
there.
Found Kewpie and was just Kewpie. Like, you know what?
Yes. That's probably what happened.
I can help him.
All right. So anyways, good luck, Kewpie.
I'm sure he sounds like William Shatner.
How's that?
Didn't he do the voice from Over the Hedge?
Oh, William Shatner?
Yes! And Avril Lavigne was like his daughter?
Okay. Was that William Shatner? Okay.
That's exactly where my brain goes when I hear opossum. I was thinking
that was Eugene Levy, but maybe it wasn't.
No.
All right. Okay. Man, we're just a couple days away from launching the Radiothon, the 13th annual Radiothon there for Norton Children's Hospital.
6 to 6, Thursday and Friday.
I just got a text that our teddy bears from Thomas Car Wash are in. They are.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they're in. They're going to be ready for delivery come, you know, Thursday for the Radiothon. And you're going to be able to literally purchase a bear for one of the kids staying at Norton Children's Hospital. So that's.
Oh, there's nothing better than cuddling up with a nice teddy bear when you're in the hospital and you're a kid and you just need, you know, cuddle buddies.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's pretty cool. So, yeah, thank you again to Thomas Car Wash for being a part of that. And then Bill Collins Auto Group for supporting Radiothon and Interstate Batteries for all that. And then we've got a ton of other sponsors that are jumping in and helping, like, sponsor different hours and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's going to be.
Yeah, if you've never heard it, that's kind of how every hour has a specific focus. You know exactly what your money is going towards. We buy equipment. We, you know, sponsor the kids that are in the NICU. Yep. There's a different focus for every hour. So if you can, you know, listen and you'll know exactly what your money is. You're not just throwing it out there to a big organization and then have no idea what happens to your money. You know exactly what it is doing with Radiothon. That's the best part of it.
That is. Stays local. So that's Thursday and Friday of this week. So, all right. Anything else from you, Kelly?
I think that's it.
Okay. If you missed anything from the show, you can always catch up on the podcast. If you're hearing this, then know that we have an update from last Friday's group therapy to get to. So
yeah, the secret kid.
Yep. Ooh. I know that was big. So anyways, you can catch yourself up when you want, when it's convenient for you. WDGX.com. Click listen. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.